Morning Fellowship Church. We're reading from Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on the earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together in worship. We lift up your name, the name that saves and rescues and shows signs and wonders. We thank you for the witness of Daniel, all those who came before, who trusted in you, even in the face of difficulty, Lord. And I pray that you would give us hearts like that, that we would trust in you with the outcomes of worldly situations and problems, that we would be faithful to you in circumstances when it costs us. And Father, we know that we can trust that you will see us through it. Lord, please speak through Pastor Chris this morning and open our hearts to receive the word. And I pray that we would go out from this place more like Jesus, taking your light to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Hi, my name is Chris. I got my name tag on today because I haven't seen you guys in a while, but man, it's so good to be back at home, right? Be back in this fellowship with you. This morning we had our kids just took over first service before they went off to Camp Zephyr, and this is the shirt that they're wearing going to camp. They're the yellow team, right? So we'll be praying for the yellow team this week and sold out for Jesus, right? That's our goal for them this week. And so it's fun to see them in first service and have that energy. But man, I felt like I haven't been here in a while. Like, I've been missing you guys, right? Been on sabbatical. You might think, well, what is sabbatical? Like, what is the idea of sabbatical? What's this idea of every 7 years our pastors have an opportunity to get away for 40 days, to rest, recoup, to physically get better, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all those sort of different things. But it's really an interesting kind of time. A few of the highlights of the trip. One of the things that we got to do, Tara and I got a chance to go visit what we call our grand youth. All right, these are like youth kids and now grown up and have kids. We don't have any grandkids of our own yet, but we have like a lot of youth kids that have grandkids. For example, this is two of our grand youth. I don't know if you remember Daniel Taylor and Allison, or DT as we call them. Right, this is Grace and Claire that we got to go visit on the way up to Michael and Katie's wedding that we got to celebrate as well. So we got to spend time with them. Or maybe you remember David and Maddie, and they now have baby Everly that we got the chance to go visit, which is the next picture. Just such a sweet family that he was our youth intern. Now he's working at a church in Mason, leading people towards the Lord. So that was part of the trip, getting to spend time with my family, getting to spend time with other people's families. My grandpa name is Chupapa, by the way, in case you're wondering. Chara and Chupapa are the two, so I got to be called Chupapa a lot on the trip in different areas. The other thing that we got a chance to do is we got to get away to Colorado. Right, a couple pictures of us just hiking through there. Now, you might think this was a nice, relaxing trip until you know my wife. And I worked out every day. I think we walked like 5-6 mile hikes every day after we worked out in there. But man, she got me in shape. It was awesome. We had such a great time. The weather was so amazing. Even though you guys have had a pretty good summer here. Like, man, it's like I got back home. I'm like, wow, it's rained here in the last 100 days? Crazy. But man, Colorado was amazing. We got to hike. We even got to see snow. That was pretty cool, right? Tara threw a snowball at me. It was pretty fun, right? But one of the things that's so interesting when you're on sabbatical, notice that we're not holding the camera for this picture because we met this sweet couple. We were on the Continental Divide Trail. It was like a 6 mile hike, a couple thousand feet in elevation. Yeah, and so, but along the way, we met this sweet couple. Here's a picture of this couple that we met named Brian and Olivia, right? And so we met them at the snow. We're getting ready to take pictures back and forth. Like, hey, can y'all take our picture? Hey, we'll take your picture, going back and forth. And they asked us a few questions, like, how long have you guys been married? And during this, on July 9th, we had 30 years of marriage, Tara and I did. Whoop, awesome, praise the Lord. And 30 and still going, right? But we were asking them, so how long have y'all been married? They go, 5 days. They were on their honeymoon, right? And we're as old as their parents, right? But we hiked 6 miles with Brian and Olivia. It was so fun. I'm in front with Brian. We're talking about New Zealand, Lord of the Rings, all kinds of nerdy stuff, right? In the back, Tara and Olivia are talking about their life story, marriage. Tara's like giving her books. We got back to the car and they sent us their wedding video. We sent them our daughter's wedding video. It was so fun because there's just something special about believers when they get together. Right, the Holy Spirit just gives you this unique, incredible bond with people that you've just met for the first time and you walk 6 miles with. And it's just an incredible thing that God has knit us together in such a beautiful way. And the end of the sabbatical was what we affectionately call wedding week. All right? We had 3 weddings in 6 days. Michael and Katie kicked it off up in Denton, and then I got to do a wedding on Thursday for Chris Cavazos, who plays the bass a lot at our church, and Lily, who is one of my youth girls. And then we got to fly out to California and see Perry Bigelow and Sarah get married. And it's just such a fun time to just have that reminder of God putting people together in this beautiful relationship to honor him. And so it was a great end to the trip, but now I'm back-ish. Because we leave this next week to go to Romania and Tanzania on mission trips. So be praying for us. But man, I am so excited about what God has for us today and going forward in him. We're talking about Daniel. And Daniel would be on the podium of my favorite characters in all the Bible, right? With the Olympics coming up, if you were to think about the podium, who gets the gold medal in all biblical characters? Jesus. I mean, come on. Jesus has to get the gold medal. He's number one, right? But in my podium favorite biblical characters, who gets the silver? Anybody know? John the Baptist. I literally have a John the Baptist poster in my office, right? That's how much of a John the Baptist fan that I am. The bronze would go to Daniel because I think Daniel is such an incredible example of leadership, of integrity, of uprightness. What an incredible young man who grows into an old man that lives a life faithful to God. A life that I wish I could live, a life like Daniel. Regardless of the circumstance, he lived faithfully for God. So we're going to pick up in Daniel chapter 6. We're going to talk about Daniel and the lion's den, kind of a familiar story, but we're going to dive in pretty deep. All right, verse 1. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom. Now, a satrap was a leader. Right, so this prefect, leader, satrap, governor kind of person were going to be set over all the different provinces that they had just conquered. Right, Darius was a Mede, Darius the Mede, and he comes in, and now they're going to set them over. But something interesting happens in verse 1 of chapter 6. This name Darius is very highly debated. You know, one of the things that I want to always talk about when we get in here is what the world is going to say about what we read. The world out there would say, well, Daniel isn't factual because there is no Darius in historical record. And so we know there are some Dariuses in the historical record. It said biblically there's 3 that are mentioned. Darius the Mede, mentioned here in chapter 6 and in chapter 11, right? You have Darius the Great. That was the one mentioned in Ezra, in Zechariah and Haggai, mentions this Darius that's there. And we also know even later, Darius the Persian, who's Darius the Second, historically is mentioned by Nehemiah. So we know these different Dariuses that are in the Bible, but what about Darius the Mede? What about the one that's in this particular category? Who was it? Because history out there would say that this Darius never existed. Well, first thing you need to know is that the word Darius in Persian means Lord. Right? It means the Lord or the ordained judge over something. So this is very likely a title for someone that was the king. The king, my Lord, would be something like that, could be spoken of him. But I know you're not in school right now, but here's some multiple choice. Here are some options of who this Darius could be in Scripture, this throne name for one of these 3 different people, right? And I know this is not the way you say their name, so just bear with me. I'm out of practice. I haven't been here in a while. I'm still trying to figure it all out. But Cyaxares, I think, is the first one, right, was a Mede that co-reigned with Cyrus. Now, the difference between these different things depends on which historical record you believe. Xenophon, or Herodias are these 2 different historical writers. One of them kind of has A and the other one has B and C as being the options. It depends on which ancient historian that you believe to which of these things could be the answer for them. One could be this Mede that was possibly co-reigning with Cyrus, because we know Cyrus was the one who conquered Babylon. Remember in chapter 5 in Daniel, the handwriting on the wall that happened? He said, this very night, the kingdom's going to be ripped away from you. Cyrus comes in and conquers Babylon at that point. So we know Cyrus is involved, but maybe there was a co-regent with him. The second option could be this governor, that as Cyrus went off to conquer more lands, he left this governor, I like to call him Gobstopper, but his real name is like Gobrius, was this person that maybe was the governor that was named Darius in that particular term. Or maybe this was another name for Cyrus himself. In fact, when you look at verse 28 in Daniel chapter 6, you'll see that it mentions both Darius and Cyrus. It says, so this Darius prospered during the reign of Darius, so this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, interestingly, when you look at the original Hebrew, there's no and there. It's an assumed and. So this could read something like, so this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, the reign of Cyrus. So some people think that the Lord, the reign of Cyrus, I think there's a common name. It doesn't really matter for us, right? Which particular Darius you think this was? Was it Cyrus? Was it a different Darius? Was it Gabrius, which was one of these different people that was there? It doesn't really matter to us. We know that this, though, is a historical figure that was in the story. I tend to lean towards C. I tend to lean towards this being Cyrus. Here's why. There's several different mentions to Cyrus in Scripture. In fact, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 45, there's this very interesting verse about this guy named Cyrus. Look at verse 1 in chapter 45. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue the nations before him and to loose the belts of the kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break into pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. Do you realize that Isaiah is writing this 100 years before Cyrus is born? 100 years. And he says, there is going to be a man named Cyrus that I am going to use to overthrow kings. And look what he says next. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you though you do not know me. This wasn't going to be a Cyrus of the nation of Israel. It's going to be someone who didn't even believe in God. Yet the God Almighty, the ruler of the universe, was going to name him. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Whew. That we have a God who can name someone that doesn't even believe in him and have that person be the agent of change that allows God's people to return to Jerusalem. In fact, we see the fulfillment of this man Cyrus coming in and setting Jacob and the nation of Israel free. We see that in 2 Chronicles. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the very end, the last verses of 2 Chronicles ends this way, starting in verse 22. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord might be, or by the mouth of Jeremiah, might be fulfilled. Jeremiah had prophesied that they would only be in exile for 70 years. So that that would be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among all of his people, may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. That God said 100 years in advance, a man named Cyrus was going to come, and he was going to set my people free to go back to Jerusalem. And he did it. Isn't this an incredible God? that we serve, that he can move the hearts of those who don't even believe in him in order to accomplish his will. Such an incredible picture that we have here. Let's go back to Daniel 6. I know what you're thinking. We only did one verse. It's going to be a long sermon. It's going to be Jonathan Bickham long, right? That's how long it's going to be. No, I'm just kidding. I love Jonathan. When I texted Jonathan, how'd it go? He goes, it went great, but I went a little long. Like, okay, I heard that. All right, but verse 2. Now, over them, three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom the satraps should give account, so the king might suffer no loss. So he's going to assign 120 satraps over, but he sets three people to be over them, and Daniel was one of those three people. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because of an excellent spirit that was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now listen, what's so interesting about the book of Daniel is that you see this paradox between two types of leadership all the way through the book. You see this Christ-centered leadership of Daniel. Right? A Christ-centered leadership that transcends all culture. Daniel was from Judah, taken as a youth. You learn this in chapter 1, that he was taken as a youth away from his land, brought into Babylon, and he flourished there. He went from one of the captives into one of the leaders. Then Persia comes in, a new kingdom comes in, and where do you find Daniel? At the top of the list. Why? Because he had an excellent spirit. And you're going to encounter in the world two different types of leadership. A Christ-centered leadership where their entire identity is solely based on Jesus. And then you're going to find self-centered leaders where their entire system of identity is built on what others say about them. These are the two types of leadership you're going to see. Some where their identity is so ingrained in who they are because of their creator that everything flows out from them. Because they love the Lord their God, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, they can then love others. Where in a self-centered, the opinions of others causes everything to flow inward. They take the credit for things that go well. They cast the blame for things that go bad. They take all of the benefits and all the things that go well. It all begins to build their own persona, reputation, self-esteem. Where on the other side, we have someone who all of that is settled. Who I am is settled by what Christ did for me. What more can the world do for me? And so instead, we deflect all of that in order to serve. Here, there's a need for attention. There's a need for acceptance. Here, we serve. We choose to make ourselves one of the least in the kingdom of heaven. That's the difference between a Christ-centered leadership and a self-centered leadership. Where was Daniel? In him was an excellent spirit. The people that were underneath of Daniel, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Rakshak and Beni, right? Those guys, right? Where they saw this example in Daniel, and then what did they say to the king? O king, our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your false idols. Like, God can deliver us, God can rescue us, but even if he doesn't, I'm not going to forsake him. That is Christ-centered, God-centered leadership. Doesn't matter what's happening around us. The noise, the chaos around us, it doesn't matter because we are centered on Christ, who is that foundation. We see that here in Daniel. But guess what? Not everyone in the story is Christ-centered. Not everyone in the story is going to honor God with their life, because what happens when they hear of this plan for Daniel to ascend to this place of power and they're going to be left behind? Are they celebrating that? Nope. Look what happens. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Woo! Now listen, that's amazing. Like, if you read my last week, you could find plenty of fault with me in the way that I've lived this last week, right? But for Daniel, they could find no fault in him. here's what we know. Christ-centered leadership is built on integrity. It's built on who you are in public is the same person you are in private. We're going to find out. If you pray in private, even if the rules change, do you keep living in that life of integrity? Daniel had no fault in him. But look what happens next. Then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Whew. Isn't that amazing? They can't tempt him with money, with lust, with any of these things. How are they going to trap him? Because of his faithfulness to God. Listen, if you live for God, persecution will come. It's not an if, it's a when. Persecution is promised to us by God. In fact, look at 2 Timothy. Paul writes this to Timothy just to let him know. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worst, deceiving and being deceived. Sometimes that feels like the culture that we live in, doesn't it? That the people that are bad, they just get worse. The people that live by faith, the world's beginning to cave in around them. You will be persecuted. Are you ready? Are you ready to trust God and honor God regardless of what happens in the culture? Regardless of what happens outside of the doors? Guys, listen. Regardless of what happens inside these walls, are you willing to honor God and trust in God more than you trust in yourself? We see that example in Daniel. And it's going to cost him. He's going to be persecuted. He's going to be thrown in the lion's den here in a moment. But are we ready to be firm in the foundation, which is Christ? Verse 6 says, then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. Please notice this. They come by agreement. The whispering's already started. Oh, Daniel's going to be put over the kingdom. What should we do? What can we do? The whispering has already started. Reminds you of Joseph. The brothers start whispering. Oh, our father likes him more than us. The coat of many colors. And they start scheming ahead of time. The scheming begins to happen. Daniel is going to stay faithful. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Here's the trap. King Darius, no one should be able to pray to any other god except for you. You get to be God for 30 days. You get to be God. Oh, what a lie. But oh, what a lie that is so prevalent in our world. It's the original lie in the garden. You're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. It's the very lie that some religions, false religions, promise if you're very good at this religion, you'll get to be a God someday of your own planet. It's still in the world today, this same lie of you get to be God. You will be immortal. You will be a legend. Do you want to be a legend or do you want to leave a legacy? Do you want to be someone that's remembered? Don't we all want to be remembered? Or do you want to leave behind a godly legacy of discipleship, starting with your own family, that leads for generation after generation after generation? God cares about our generations. He cares about the footprints that we leave behind that lead to him. So many people want to be famous. So many people want to be a legend. But legends begin to die. See, they appeal to the king. Don't you want to be that? And man, no, okay. We're not tempted with that, are we? I mean, let's be honest. I'm not going to be up here like, okay, at the end of the service, instead of praying to Jesus, pray to Chris. Hopefully Eric Peruca tackles me, right? And I don't get up here next service, right? Because that's blasphemy, right? That's like self-worship in the worst. But we're not that audacious with the way we do it. It's more like this. It's like, wait, I want y'all to like my sermon more than you like Paul's last week. I want y'all to like my sermon more than Neth. I mean, he's walking around everywhere up here with that thing. I want you to like me more than we put ourselves out there, that we make ourselves the object of what we want from other people. And then when we don't get that, oh, well, if you don't like mine more than Paul, I don't want to be your friend. I can't believe. And we all of a sudden make it all about us. This is self-centered leadership. Don't follow self-centered leaders. Don't follow them. They're going to lead you to where we find out in the story, they're going to lead us to destruction. Follow those who celebrate others. Man, I had a blast listening to them on the road home from Colorado and different places. Like I so enjoyed listening to different pastors bring the word. They all have their own style. They all have their own flavors. We have an incredible staff of people that hopefully you get to know through the way they bring the word. Are we more about the work of Christ, or are we more about how it influences us, how it impacts our life? Daniel, he didn't care. These other leaders, they really cared about Daniel getting pushed ahead of them. And so they tricked Darius into this idea. Now, O king, it's verse 8, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius, sign the document and the injunction. Now listen, Daniel has a few choices here, doesn't he? This has been signed. You're not allowed to pray to anyone except Darius. Three choices. Here's choice number one. I mean, we know this. Daniel is not going to bow down and pray to Darius. We know this about Daniel at this point, don't we? I mean, that's not even really an option on the table. But he's got three other options. Number one, Daniel can go viral. Daniel could be like, oh, I can't pray to anyone else? Hey, King Darius, on the knees, Lord Yahweh, and just start praying it right in front of everybody, right in the throne room. Daniel could do it. He had access. He had opportunity. Call out Darius for this silly injunction that they created and make a scene of it all. Daniel could have done that, but he didn't. I wonder why. Why didn't Daniel march to the front and just defy the king? Would that have affected Darius's heart? Would Darius's heart have been changed because of the viral nature, the impotence by which Daniel came in? Or was his heart changed because of how Daniel faithfully lived his life? You know, we so often want to confront, don't we? We so often want to, and I'm not saying we shouldn't stand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood for what they believed. But we want to live a quiet, faithful life to God. See, the second thing that Daniel could have done is he could have laid low for 30 days. He could have been like, 30 days, that's it? God, I'll be back. Taking a month off. Be back in a second. Could have done that. But let me ask you a question. How would that work in your marriage? Like, hun, love you, but we're not going to be married for 30 days. I'll be back in a second. Right? How would that work? Good? Wives, would you be good with that? No? Husbands, would you be good with that? See, we're in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, which lives inside of us, we don't get to take a break from that, right? We're not going to just lay low and just pretend. Maybe I'll just pray really quietly. Maybe I'll hide when I pray. That's not how Daniel lived. Daniel decided to live a life that was faithful. He just continued to live his life faithfully to God, as he always had. Look what happens next. It says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, Daniel knew. He didn't stumble into this. He knew this document had been signed. He went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Daniel did what he always did, live faithfully for God. Regardless of the rules, regardless of the things, chaos going around, he's like, no, this is who I am. This is what I do. I'm going to continue to live faithfully for God regardless of the circumstances. This is his proclamation. He's willing to take on whatever the world throws at him. And he got down on his knees and he prayed. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. And they came near and said before the king concerning this injunction, O king, Did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing stands fast, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles of Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction that you have signed, but he makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed, and set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement. Notice I keep saying by agreement. They're in this together. To the king and said, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. By the way, what is this ordinance again? We're going to pray to you as if you're God. He's a pretty lousy God. He can't even change the rule. He can't even save Daniel. He's a puny little God. And this is what happens to self-centered leaders. They think they're God until they're not. They think they're God until something that's out of their control happens and it crushes them under the weight of their expectations. You see, when you're centered on Christ, you're on the firm foundation. We're unshakable when our identity is found in our Creator. When our identity is found in what other people say about us, man, that is an unstable way to live your life. Always by popular opinion, where the culture pushes you this way and that way. Instead of, I'm grounded on the Word of God. His Word is truth. This is my identity in Him. Daniel, firm foundation. Darius, it's getting shaky. This very thing he wants to do, he can't do. So then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Do you see Darius's heart here? It's changed. From being the authoritative over all things, he's now fasting for Daniel. At the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. And he came near to the den where Daniel was, and he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Woo! Awesome. Now listen, the world out there will try to explain this way in a lot of different ways. Maybe Daniel was really fast. Like he's dodging lions, you know, choo, choo, he's gone. Maybe there was like a cleft in the rock where he just like hid in there and he survived all night, right? Maybe the lions just weren't hungry. Maybe the lions are just chilling like, oh, dessert? No thanks. And they just waited. Well, why would the world out there try to make excuses and say this didn't really happen? Because if this happens, God can save. If this happens, we have a God who protects us from death. And you know what's so incredible about this story? The story isn't only about Daniel. Because can I highlight something? Let's go back to verse 17. I don't know if you, first time I read this, I didn't catch it, right? But when I read it, when I started studying, I caught this. Notice what happens in verse 17. Have you heard another story? Maybe the story echoes of another time that a stone was rolled in front of a place of death, where an angel came in when that stone was rolled away and protected that person. Where a group of angry men, scared of the power that they once had, now being stripped away from them, accused an innocent man, one that was blameless, and condemned him to death and threw him in there. Have you heard that story before? Look again what it says. And a stone was brought and laid across the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. Was it the tomb sealed? Wasn't the tomb created with a seal so that no one would mess with it? And yet, 3 days later, King Jesus, 3 days later, right? Daniel, he spent a night. But the King of Kings spent 3 days in the grave. And then that stone was rolled away, and that angel came down, walked out. This is Jesus. This is a foreshadowing of that Jesus was going to have victory over death. That this innocent man that was condemned in Daniel, that lived faithfully for his life, was going to be this foreshadowing of a God-man that would walk faithfully and die, choose to die for his sin. Daniel chose, I'm going to live faithfully. Jesus chose, Lord, your will, not my will, be done. So we have throughout all the Old Testament these foreshadowings, these pictures, these little echoes that begin to echo in our mind of this once for all time Redeemer that was to come. What a beautiful picture that we see of this man, Daniel. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Christ-centered leadership trusts God, regardless of the chaos. Self-centered doesn't count the cost. Self-centered is all about the here, the now, and how they can progress. Christ-centered trusts God regardless. Which one do you want to be? A Christ-centered leader or a self-centered leader? Because what happens next is tragic. This is the rest of the story. This is the part you don't tell in Sunday school. This next verse, verse 24, is like, okay, maybe we won't read this one when we get to the four-year-old class. Because look what happens. This is the result of self-centered leadership. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the lion's into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. They were hungry. Check that one off the list. Think of how tragic this story is. That these self-centered leaders who wanted to get ahead in their job caused the death and destruction of everyone that was close to them. Their family, their wives, all destroyed because they had a desire for power. And whoo, I know I've only been back one Sunday, but dads, Christ-centered leader, self-centered leader. If you continue to be a self-centered leader, it's going to destroy your family. That's the example we see here. If you're a Christ-centered leader, you're going to bring up those underneath of your care to help them flourish in the Lord. You're going to be the one that's going to be a protector. You're going to be one faithful day by day. Not even that. Three times a day after three times a day after three times a day. See, Daniel wasn't just faithful once a day. He made a lifestyle of honoring God regardless of the circumstances. Dads, are we that example to our family? Moms, are you that example to your family of Christ-centered devotion? It may not seem like it, that the self-centeredness is going to cost you everything. It may seem like in the world today, self-centered people, they get ahead. But there's a time coming that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to return. And he's going to ask us, what have we done with the people in our care? I know. We see this example. How tragic. How horrific that these men's desire for power destroyed their legacy. Destroyed these lovely and amazing people that are around them, all because of their hunger and thirst for power. Whew. Let's not be that way. Humility, faithfulness, righteousness, a life like Daniel, And this life of Daniel changes the heart of a king. Because look what King Darius says next. This is what Ben read for us at the beginning of our time together. It says, "Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, 'Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel.'" Now, we have a God that is worthy of respect, a God that is worthy of our honor. For he is a living God. Our God's not dead. He's surely alive, right? We have a God who's alive, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. Jesus gets the victory. His dominion shall be to the end. And he delivers and he rescues. That this God of all creation, this God of all power and might, cares about you. He loves me. He loves you. What an incredible God that we serve. All powerful and personal. He works signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Just as he saved Daniel from certain death, he could save us from spiritual death and give us eternal life in him. That's our prayer. This is Daniel lived a faithful life centered on God, that we live that way, and our faith and our trust is in him and him alone. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords, that you will endure forever, that your dominion will endure to the end. Lord, you get the victory. Thank you for the victory that we have in you over sin and death. Help us to walk faithfully in that, leaving a legacy of faith and devotion to you. Lord, if there's anything in us that is self-centered, anything in us that is pride or destruction, take that from us, Lord. Let us not lead other people into destruction, but to lead them towards you. So, Lord, we confess our tendency to want to be known, our tendency to want to be remembered. Lord, help us to be like Daniel, to live a faithful life for you. We pray all this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Chris, and welcome back. Woo! Glad you're back. Yes, you can clap. You can be thankful. That's okay. We have a couple of announcements. So the first service, we had a sea of yellow shirts over here because the kids, they went to Camp Zephyr. And so I want to ask you, if you have a bulletin, on the back, write Galatians 2:20. That is the verse that I would encourage you and challenge you every day. Put it on your refrigerator, the bulletin for the week, and be praying that over the kids that are going to be poured into at camp. And this is what Galatians 2:20 says. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So we are pouring into these children. Pray for the leaders that are going to be working with them all week long. And pray for also our team that's about to leave this week, the first leg of this mission trip. So there's a two-part mission trip to Romania and then to Africa, to Tanzania. And so if you are going on the first leg, please come on up. We want to pray over you. We want to also encourage this team as they're going to pour into the youth. And they're going to be talking to the youth about their identity in Christ. And so this is very, very important, as you know, that so many youth look at social media and platforms of that nature to really identify themselves. And we want to show them the truth and what that means to be identified in Christ. Even if, Colleen, I see you back there. Come on up. I know you're going on the second leg, but anybody, it doesn't, even if you're going on the first or second, we want to pray over you. We can't pray enough for our mission team. So let's pray for both the Camp Zephyr, the kids going there, and then also for these that are going to be going to Romania and Tanzania. God, thank you very much for your love for us. We're reminded that we love because you first love. And so in that same understanding, you have called us to go out and to make disciples. So we want to take this time, God, to ask you for your blessing over those that are already making their way to Camp Zephyr. For all those kids, Lord, we do pray that they would find a new life, that they would find you, Jesus, there already waiting for them to give them that new identity. And in the same way, Lord, we pray for your blessing on this team that's going to Romania and to Tanzania, specifically, Lord, as some of them are going already for the first leg of the trip this week. God, protect them, give them wisdom, and help them to be able to connect with these youth to help them understand what it means to be in Jesus, in you, Jesus, to have that understanding and that faith to put their trust in you and to receive that new life. God, thank you for your provision. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your love. And I pray, just as we were instructed this morning by your word, that you would help all of us to live a life according to Daniel, who was so obedient and so trusting in you, God. And we desperately need to have that understanding, because the world is trying to tell us something different, God. But we know that your truth will always prevail. So I pray that as we leave today, we would walk in that understanding and in that power by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So the closing verse is Psalm 78, verse 72. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. So may you be guided as you make your way out this week. In Jesus' name.